Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, the roller coaster ride for equity markets has seen one runaway winner. Growth stocks, specifically tech, from FANG stocks to electric vehicle makers, and even Singaporean e-commerce and gaming firms listed out on the New York Stock Exchange. But the age-old adage is that nothing lasts forever. And some feel that the time might be ripe for rebalancing back towards value in the coming weeks or months. Well, that's what Amundi thinks is slowly in the works. Today on Money FM 89.3, we are joined by Mr. Alec Murray, a client portfolio manager for equities at Amundi. He joins us all the way out from Boston to share with us what they're seeing in terms of this rotation and how to actually prepare yourselves for a potential rotation from growth to value if it is happening. Alec, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health. And welcome to the show, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to join us.
So let's take a step back and actually recap the surge in growth in tech stocks, which really amazed and baffled a number of people since those March doldrums. It's been really spectacular, to be honest. And many are crediting that the COVID-19 pandemic is accelerating certain tech trends and online usage. But how did the macro environment, from Amundi's point of view, support the surge in growth in tech stocks, Alec?
Well, you're absolutely right. If you look at the top five stocks in the S&P 500, all of which are growth stocks, year-to-date through the end of September, they're up about 35%. And if you strip those stocks out of the S&P 500, the S&P 500 would only be down about 1%. So those stocks have really driven the performance of the S&P 500 this year. In part, at a macro level, we think that's due to a couple of factors. The first is that if you look at the earnings picture for U.S. companies, those top five stocks are generating about 12% earnings growth this year, whereas the rest of the S&P 500 earnings are down about 21%. So investors in the U.S. have had very little room to turn to in terms of finding companies that are actually generating earnings growth. So from that macro perspective, that's favored large cap growth stocks. In addition, interest rates have declined year to date. The 10-year Treasury has gone from about 1.9% to 0.8%. And that decline in interest rates has been very favorable for growth stocks because the discount rate has declined.
This gap between growth and value stocks, it's very difficult to ignore at, rather wide, and thus supports a case that maybe rebalancing from one to the other is in the works. But what else makes Amundi think that this shift is going to happen? And more specifically, when do you think it's actually going to start kicking in?
Yeah, so we think the shift will occur for a couple of reasons. The first is that there has been unprecedented levels of fiscal and monetary stimulus in the United States, and we think that's ultimately going to be inflationary. And if you go back and look, the biggest correlation or the highest correlation between the outperformance of value has been rising inflation. And so we think ultimately this stimulus will cause inflation to go up and value to begin outperforming growth. The other catalyst we think is ultimately there will be some sort of vaccine. Pfizer is in actually production mode with its vaccine. And so once we get a vaccine launched, we think that the U.S. and global economy can fully recover. And that, again, will be a positive for value, which has more exposure to cyclical stocks.
In fact, Dr. Anthony Fauci recently over the weekend said that he is confident we'll see findings at least for some of these vaccines sometime in late November, even early December, but sooner rather than later. And, you know, touching on COVID-19 and the vaccine, a lot of this will depend on the rebounding economy, Alec, and how soon we can all pick ourselves up from the ground, the U.S., even Singapore included. But COVID-19, though, has proved to be very unpredictable and stubbornly persistent. We've got second waves happening in some major economies. Could this economic rebound and this potential switching from growth to value possibly be delayed if we see more hiccups with regards to the coronavirus?
Absolutely. And in your last question, you mentioned timing, and it's very difficult to predict timing in terms of when this shift will occur. And you're absolutely right. The number of COVID cases in the U.S. and globally is rising, and that could certainly delay a shift from growth to value, which is why ultimately we're not saying necessarily to transition to value stocks completely. What we're saying is on the margin to lighten up on growth stocks and to move into value, because ultimately we think that shift will occur. We just are not sure about the timing.
Okay, we're still speaking to Alec Murray, who's the client portfolio manager for equities out at Amundi. In the recent research note you guys also released, you also caveated that switching to value stocks is not without its own risks. Can you elaborate for our listeners here in Singapore?
Sure. So we've already talked about one of the big risks, which is the rising number of COVID cases. The uncertainty about the global recovery means that the shift to value has some risk, and should be taken with some degree of caution. But there's another larger risk as well, which is the presidential election. Because if former Vice President Biden gets elected, he's proposing higher regulation on energy and financial sectors. And those are large components of the value universe and could propose something of a headwind for value stocks should he get elected. So there are certainly risks associated with the call that value will begin to outperform growth.
In fact, when you look at the Biden presidency, they're also worried that there might be also regulation in the works for tech stocks or some of these tech behemoths. And then we're not trying to call what the elections, how the elections turn out. That's not our job. But could we actually see a bit of risk on both ends, on some parts of the value spectrum and even some parts of the growth spectrum, particularly in tech, should we see this blue wave that everybody seems to be pricing in?
Absolutely correct. I mean, there is certainly regulatory risk with some of the larger tech companies that could be a negative for growth as well as value. So the outcome of the presidential election isn't certain in terms of that growth versus value dynamic, but there are certainly risks to both ends of the spectrum.
All right. Now, the strategy, according to Mundi, is to move into high-quality value stocks and stay with growth. But you're also saying let's avoid hyper-growth offers and deep value stocks. Let's stick first with the deep value bit there. How would you define deep value stocks, and why would you eschew or be averse towards these as you're making the shift? Some people might think on the surface that perhaps deeper value might be better value, actually. But is that the case or not?
Sure. So we define deep value as stocks that you would only buy based upon an asset valuation, not even based on current earnings. And industries that fall into that category currently are largely in the travel industry. So if you think about airlines, for example, we think they're deep value stocks. They're structurally impaired and unlikely to recover anytime soon. The risk is, particularly with those stocks, that if you go back and look at previous market periods where stocks have dramatically underperformed. So take the financials back in the Great Recession. It took a very long time for financial stocks to recover. So investing in stocks that have done the worst in a particular period doesn't necessarily result in outperformance going forward. So if you look at deep value currently, we would consider airlines as an example, full price retailers as another example. Those types of stocks we think should be avoided in investment portfolios because we think it's very unlikely that they will outperform.
All right. So let's talk about what you are eschewing, though, staying within high-quality value stocks and also staying with stocks that are growth but not hyper-growth. Can you help us define what value stocks are and what some of these, let's call them normal growth stocks for lack of a better term. How would you define these for investors who are trying to figure out, okay, if Amundi is saying this, how do I pick out some of these particular stocks that they're saying, hey, stay here?
Sure. So an example of a quality value stock would be some of the package delivery companies globally. So those companies are very high quality in nature. And what do we mean by that? They have very strong balance sheets, so they're in good shape from a debt perspective. They're very profitable. They're also growing. They're actually beneficiaries of the pandemic in terms of more package delivery, and they're actually pretty reasonably valued. So those would be examples of high-quality value stocks. On the other end of the spectrum, you also have stable growth stocks. Those are companies, for example, in the medical device universe. So companies that are producing hips and knees, for example, steady growth there, probably going to be accelerating as a result of the pandemic because people actually haven't been able to get those surgeries done until recently. Those would be examples of steady growth stocks, companies that have growth prospects, but they're not as highly valued and higher growth as some of the names that have done particularly well this year, but may be more vulnerable.
All right, fair enough. All right, so Alec, before we let you go, and we'd like to thank you for spending some time with us out there. I know it's early out in New York at the moment, but Amundi also has a case for why sustainable investing is going to play a more prominent role for decisions down the road. Why do you think the role has expanded, and do you think there's a relationship to how COVID-19 has impacted or influenced economies and business sectors and the world in general?
Yes. So we think one of the things the pandemic has done is raise the sensitivity to ESG issues, more specifically in the U.S., how companies are treating employees through this particular period, this pandemic, and whether they're able to provide some sort of benefits to their employees. So we think this has only heightened the focus on ESG. In addition, one of the other reasons we think ESG becomes much more relevant in a post-pandemic environment is if you look at the performance of stocks in recent years, stocks that have higher ESG ratings have actually outperformed the broader indices. And so going forward, both because of the pandemic and because of investment performance, we think ESG is going to become more and more relevant for investors globally.
Fair enough. I'd like to thank Alec Murray, Client Portfolio Manager for Equities at Amundi out in Boston, for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about the potential shift, or the impending shift, that is, to from growth to value stocks in the coming weeks or months, and what some of the key opportunities and risks are. As always, I wish you and loved ones good health and good safety during these very trying times, and we look forward to the next time we can have you join us on the broadcast. In the meantime, have a great rest of the day ahead, sir.
You too. Pleasure joining you today.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.